Good morning, I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. It's good to have you with us here today for the Congregation of Prayer, a guide for daily meditation and prayer around God's Word. It is Monday, August 8th, 2022. And anything in particular? I don't think so. So, let's actually begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. New memory verse for the week. Let's say it together. No one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3b. No one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That connects well with yesterday's sermon and gospel text. All right, we're finally going to get to the end here of Psalm 119. We've been doing this for, all summer, right? Probably about 10 weeks, maybe. So here we are. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 161. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. Seven times a day I praise you for your just and righteous decrees. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your just decrees help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All right, I see you checking in on the chat. We've got Vicky on YouTube, Don and Karen, Grace, Gus and Eileen, and Lori. There's others watching live who haven't checked in. That's fine. You don't need to. But I appreciate it. Knowing that you're there and paying attention. Otherwise, this is kind of a one-way deal. All right. Our first reading today is from Zechariah chapter 12 and 13. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones. And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die, but one-third shall be left in it. I will bring the one-third through the fire. I will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people. And each one will say that the Lord is my God. Good. As we talked about, we Zechariah 11 yesterday for Bible class. We'll do chapter 12 next week. And the allusions, that's not even probably strong enough a word, right? The direct reference of Zechariah chapter 11 used in Matthew chapter 16 and 7, or 26 and 27, excuse me. We'll see the same sort of thing with Zechariah 12. These are foundational texts to help us understand our Lord's suffering, passion, and death, right? That we'll look on him whom they pierced. I've heard that somewhere. Yes, of course. Yeah, we'll talk more about chapter 12 in Bible class on Sunday. All right, our reading for catechesis today is from Luke chapter 19. Famous little story about the, as you saw him. I love this picture because it's just like the song, A Wee Little Man. All right. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. It's getting sunnier out. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. Then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. All right, very good. Just making a few little adjustments here. All right, good. So, let's see. What city does Jesus enter? We were just passing by outside the city on our reading from the end of Luke 18 on Friday. Jesus was approaching Jericho, and he had met the blind Bartimaeus, outside the city. Now he enters into the city, and that city is Jericho. All right. What three important things did we learn about Zacchaeus in verses 2 and 3? You see those before you? What are the three details there? All right, he's a tax collector, he's rich, and as the song says, he is of short stature. He's a little man. What did he want to do? Yeah, he sought to see who Jesus was, right? So, eyes. What did he think, how did he think he could do it? Of course, by climbing the sycamore tree on the way that Jesus was going. Does Zacchaeus see Jesus? No, it's the opposite, isn't it? Right? Now, this is the key, because faith comes by hearing, comes by Jesus, right? By his spirit. Zacchaeus did not see Jesus. Instead, Jesus saw Zacchaeus. Not Zacchaeus, Jesus, but Jesus, Zacchaeus. Why? As we see at the end, the summation of the text in verse 10, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus has come to Jericho to seek out Zacchaeus and find this lost sheep of Israel. Right? It reminds me of a little bit of that statement about the man born blind, right? Well, they ask him, who sinned, right? And he says, no, that's not the right question. This man is here at this moment. I'm here with him, that the glory of God would be revealed, right? And then he heals the man. Okay? So it's the same idea here. He's come to find Zacchaeus for the sake of restoring him to the kingdom. What did Jesus tell Zacchaeus? All right, now this part you know well. I must stay at your house today. All right, now why does Zacchaeus come down from the tree? Receive him joyfully. Why? Because he heard, not saw. He heard Jesus, right, the word, and he believed the words of Jesus. Right, so you see this contrast between seeing and hearing, which is important. Who must be in the tree then for our sakes? Zacchaeus has to come down from the tree, but who will actually go up on the tree? Jesus will climb the tree of the cross. So we also have that inversion happening here. What did the crowd complain about? This man is going to be the guest of a sinner. Of course, when Jesus is your guest, it changes the nature of, the relationship of everyone there at the meal, right? If Jesus has come, then he comes with forgiveness, right? Even for sinners, right? Jesus still is a guest of sinners every Sunday, every Wednesday night for us. That's right, in the Lord's Supper, right? He welcomes sinners to his table and forgives them. So you see, the same pattern is being set up here by Luke in his recording of this text, of this event. Of course, how does Jesus become the guest at the supper? the same way that he's the guest with Zacchaeus, is by his word, right? Remember, all the way at the end, it ends with a supper where sinners are brought to feast with Jesus. And that's the road to Emmaus, right? That's only three chapters away, actually, since we're getting close to the end of the text here. But we also have, of course, just in three chapters, I should say, we have the upper room, right? Where Jesus breaks bread and gives it to the disciples. The Passover is celebrated, Christ being the Passover lamb. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, by his word. Think specifically, listen to this. He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, see, this is my body, which is given for you. This I do this in remembrance of me. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. All right. Did Jesus ask Zacchaeus to pay back anyone? No, he did not, right? So then why did Zacchaeus pay back everyone he had defrauded? Jesus has forgiven him, right? So he believed that Jesus was God in the flesh and had given up everything to redeem him, right? And so then, just as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses, as we then forgive those who trespass against us. Right. Chris asks in the chat, they didn't know they were sinners too. This is true, right? So in the forgiving of Zacchaeus, it reveals the sins of those who had looked down on Zacchaeus, right? They think of themselves more highly than they ought. It's always that comparison game, isn't it? Well, you know, Zacchaeus is not just a tax collector. He's a chief tax collector, and he's rich. He's somebody of stature in the community, but of course, physically of short stature. There's all sorts of reasons why they might consider themselves more highly than him. But look at how Jesus inverts everything, turns it upside down. And you're right, Chris, they don't know that they're sinners too. And that's always the risk. I think 2 weeks ago, the sermon I preached on Sunday helped with this. You know, because it's easy to look around, for me as a pastor, look around at the Christian congregation, especially in the summertime when attendance is weak, people are doing all sorts of things, and then point the finger and say, look at those, they're terrible Christians and how they're not in church. But I think we need to recognize, like Chris is pointing out here, the sin of our own heart, that we too, given the opportunity, means mode of opportunity, would not be in attendance to God's word either, right? The only reason we were there in church on Sunday 2 weeks ago was, again, by the call of the Holy Spirit, by the conviction of our heart through the law, and by certainly the desire to receive Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, right? Which is a faith worked in us by the Spirit, by Jesus' word. So I called it a miracle 2 weeks ago that anybody was in church. Jesus calls Zacchaeus a son of Abraham. How is he a son of Abraham? All right. He is a son by blood, right? So this is a Jew, but he's a true son of Abraham. Jesus makes that distinction because he believes in the same faith as Abraham, right? Which is that Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham, right? So he is a son of Abraham because he looks to Jesus as the promised offspring who would be gather the church to be as numerous as the sand on the shore or the stars of heaven. Why did Jesus come into the world? Of course, he summarizes here, to seek and to save that which was lost, right? Which was Zacchaeus. All right. Summary then. How does one destroy the sins of selfishness or greed? The church often tries to implement some stewardship program to remedy this sin, but this is the way of the law. We must be called down out of the tree of our own sacrifices and pointed to the one who has been raised up on the tree of the cross as the only payment for sin. Only when one is the son of Abraham, that is, one who lives by faith in Christ, will the way of love gain hold. As it was, the word of God, which changed the heart of Zacchaeus, so that same word is to change the hearts of men. Though men are called to repent of their greed, the gospel is the only power of God to give us hearts of flesh. So it is that Jesus summons us to his altar to give us his body, that he may keep the living heart of faith alive and produce the works of love among us. All right. So this would be an important stewardship text, I think, to talk about the nature of generosity. Where does it come from? Right. That generous repayment of, not repayment, restitution that Zacchaeus makes for those who he had defrauded does not come by obligation or even by command, but it actually comes as a fruit of faith. worked through Jesus forgiving him and being brought into his house. We look and say, well, you know, the church is in financial straits. Sometimes that's just because of our own negligence and our lack of good stewardship with God, what God has entrusted. But in other cases, it's because we've underemphasized the role of preaching forgiveness of sins, new life in Christ, the way that Christ, by his Spirit, works in us, fruits. And instead, we put the burden upon the people. If you don't do something, you know, XYZ is going to happen, or we need you to step up because you are not pulling your weight, or something like that, which is all the language of the law. And that that does actually work for a time, as it does with children and anyone needing discipline. But it doesn't, well, for one, it creates a hostile relationship between the one asking and the one, or demanding, and the one giving up, right? So that's actually in the background here, because that's the relationship of Rome and their tax collectors, who are considered, what do you want to say, traitors, actually, of the people, because they work for the state, for Rome, and they extract taxes, not through generosity, but through demand, through the law, right? So that's in the background as well with the text. And instead, generosity comes as a fruit of the Spirit without compulsion. That doesn't mean that the congregation can't make and should not make the people aware of the need, the pressing need, but to do so by demand and not by opportunity, and simply laying it before the people as opportunity for them to exercise the faith the Spirit has worked in them, is to go by way of the law. And it creates that, again, that hostile relationship, not a healthy one. And also, it ends up actually stifling or limiting generosity. When people are able to give generously without obligation, they actually sometimes are more generous. All right. Our third petition of the Lord's Prayer, let's say it together. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does this mean? The good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. How is God's will done? God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. And when he strengthens and keeps us firm in his word and faith until we die, this is his good and gracious will. All right, we pray. Heavenly Father, your good and gracious will is to keep and preserve us in the true faith. Your good and gracious will is done without our prayer and does not depend upon us. For this we give you thanks. Forgive us for not trusting that you promised to preserve us in Christ. Break and hinder every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow your name or let your kingdom come. Strengthen and keep us firm in your word and faith until we die through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, new hymn for the week, The Church is One Foundation. This connects well with the very conclusion of the sermon yesterday, so we'll just pick up right where we left off yesterday.
Holy food, and to one hope. cry calls up along, and soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song. Through toil and tribulation had to halt of her war, she waits a consummation of peace forevermore. Till with a vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest. Yet she on earth has union with God the three in one, and blessed sweet communion with those whose rest is won. Oh, blessed heavenly chorus, Lord, save us by your grace, that we like saints before us may see you face to face.
Let us pray. Grant to us, Lord, the spirit to think and do always such things as are right, that we who cannot do anything that is good without you may be enabled by you to live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray today for faith to live in the promises of holy baptism, for vocations and daily work, for the unemployed, for the salvation and well-being of our neighbors, for our schools, our homeschools, our colleges and seminaries, and for good government and peace. We also pray today with Roger and Adeline, who celebrated their birthday yesterday, with Sherry, who celebrated her baptism yesterday. We pray for the households of our church, especially that of Jim and Mardell, Dan, Clarence and Linda, Derek, Dennis, and Pauline. Pray in thanksgiving with Tim for the gift of healing. We pray for our catechumens, Matthew and Maureen. We pray for those ill receiving treatment or recovering. We had one addition before we get into this. Well, let me think of it. Marcella, Joe, Pastor Coda, Kelsey, Dan, Brad, Taylor, and Pat. I just lost who the other was that I was thinking of. Just went into the hospital last night. Well, if I think of it, we'll come back to it. We pray for our homebound, Bev, Willis, Ed, Mickey, Paul, and Pauline. Oh, I thought of who it is. It's Lenore Melius. She's planning to come to church, but then was not feeling well and ended up in the hospital. All right. We also pray for the missions and mercy work of the church, that is, of the gathering place at St. Paul Falls. We pray in intercession for disdain of earthly things. For all this, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. All right, there's a note there in the chat. One of my funeral hymns, yes. And for good reason, right? Because of through toil and tribulation. She waits the consummation, speaking of the church, of peace forevermore, right? Till with the vision glorious, her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest, right? So there's the key, that we rest in peace in Christ. And of course, it's the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. So right from the first line, it's quite explicit in confessing Christ and the work that he has done with baptism by water and the word, to be the holy bride, dying for her, shedding his blood for her, for her life, he dies, right? So right from the get-go, and then, of course, the sacrament of the altar in stanza 2, the cry of the saints in stanza 3, the church militant in stanza 4, and then, of course, the church triumphant in stanza 5. So it's one of those examples, actually, of a great hymn that it's also one that's quite popular. This doesn't happen very often, one that truly confesses Christ and the sacrament and the work that he brings about for the church, and the promise, resurrection, and life everlasting, and does it in such a way that people both enjoy to sing it and find it comforting. So great choice for a funeral hymn. All right, with that, I will bid you adieu, and we'll see you again tomorrow. We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center, in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.